Hello and welcome to another jam-packed episode of My Favorite Conservative. I am Edward.
And I am Andrea, but I am not conservative.
Stop.
No.
Stop the presses. Really?
I am not. It's
okay.
But you are my favorite conservative.
Oh, I get it. So that's the whole premise of the show.
That's the title, yes, of the show.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay, thanks for clearing that up.
All right. So our theme for season three is the march to the election. So we always start with the polls. We promise we will not be doing these polls much longer, we hope. So, and the RCP, that's Real Clear Politics, national average Trump versus Harris. Last week, Harris was up 2 points. This week, she is up 2.2. So,
ooh.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Go ahead.
We also do a this day in history. So we look back on this day in both 2020 and 2016 and see how Trump is holding up against Joe Biden. In 2020, Joe Biden had a 9.0-point lead. That's pretty hefty.
That's significant.
And
Harris
the lovely,
should be at more.
The lovely Hillary Clinton in 2016 actually had a 4.1 lead on Donald Trump, and that didn't turn out too well. So Kamala's at 2.2 right now.
Okay. So what are you saying to the people?
There's hope if you're on the right side of history.
Oh, always, God.
Always
okay. All right. Let's go to the battleground states. I'll do the East Coast. So last week, Harris was up 0.4. This week, it's a dead heat. It's a tie. In North Carolina last week, Trump was up 1.4. He is still up, but only 0.6. So he lost almost a full point in North Carolina.
He did.
And then in Georgia last week, Trump was up 1.5, and this week remains the same.
All right. Let's, shall we go to the upper Midwest?
Yes.
Let's start with Michigan.
Okay.
Last week, Kamala Harris was up 1.7. She's up 0.7.
So she lost a point.
Whole point
wow.
there. In Wisconsin, she was up 1.0 last week. She's up 0.8. So just a little drop off there.
Yep. Oh, there goes my ear thing. All right. Let's just keep going with
let's
the show.
Move along.
Things happen. All right. Nevada, let's go out west. Last week, Harris was up 1.2. This week, she's up 1.1. So essentially the same. And in Arizona, last week, Trump was up 2.0. He has dropped. He's still ahead, but he is only up 1.4. So slight drops in North Carolina and Arizona for Trump.
I will be interested to see these polls next week in Georgia and North Carolina. We've had that major hurricane Helene blow through there.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that later. But the response or lack thereof by the federal government, of which Kamala Harris represents, I think it's going to really turn that in Trump's favor.
We'll see. So. Yeah. If you're a gambler on predictit.org, where people bet on the races, so there has been a big change. Last week, Harris was at 56, Trump was at 48. So that is, oh my God, I'm so sorry.
8-point differential.
Yeah, 8-point, but it's actually cents. But yes. Today, Harris is 54, Trump is 50. So it's tightening up even with the gamblers.
So that got cut in half, the differential.
It did.
Wow.
Yeah. And that matters because, again, people are actually putting their money and betting on the races.
True.
So.
All right.
For our main show today, we're going to recap the vice presidential debate.
Okay. Really?
Yes. Shocker.
Well,
I know.
We think you'll enjoy our commentary. Well, because one of us turned to alcohol to get through it. I'm not going to say which one of
it
us.
It was really long.
It was long.
And I did Sober September, and something I've done for the second year in a row.
And the debate was October 1st.
It was beautiful.
Jumped right into it.
I jumped right into it and might have had a little too much wine. But I needed it, man, because it was too long. So if you recall our analysis of the presidential debate, we both said that Trump lost.
Yep.
So
took a lot of crap for that.
We did take a lot of crap for that. Well, not on every side. But so we call it like we see them. So let's get started. So it was really odd. Both candidates were already at the lectern and they shook hands. And JD Vance looked so good in his suit. And I actually turned to Edward. I'm like, I love the tie. I love that he wasn't wearing this, you know, bright red tie screaming, I'm a Republican. It was sort of a muted pink with a little bit of a pattern. And it just, he just looks so put together. And Waltz, by comparison, kind of looked like his dad. I mean, kind of a grumpy dad. Like,
yeah, Tim Walz is 60. Walls.
Yeah.
Who looks late 60s.
Yeah, but now. Not. It's more like he acts that way. It's less about his look.
Yeah, yeah, he's going for that I'm a dad, you know, kind of thing.
He is.
Yeah.
All right, so tell us what the rules were.
The quick recap on the rules. It was 90 minutes.
It went long.
And it went long.
It went very long.
Yeah, yeah. That was, I think our mouths were gaping.
Oh, we were so tired.
The moderators were Nora O'Donnell and Margaret Brennan, both of CBS News. Mm-hmm. The questions, the candidates had 2 minutes to answer. And there was also a 2-minute rebuttal, which
was
that
long.
Seems like a lot, but you know, whatever, right? I mean,
yep.
Usually you get a minute, but there was also another minute for further points. So every question just kept going on and on and on.
Yeah.
CBS did fact checking in real time.
But not on both candidates.
As we will see, yes. And CBS reserved the right to mute the candidates' mics.
Which I kind of liked personally.
Yeah, yeah. If it's done to you just judiciously.
So they started with the Middle East and Iran's attack on Israel, and they went to Walz first. And the question was, would you support a preemptive strike by Israel on Iran? And Walz started with going back in history with October 7th. And he said the word fundamental so many times that if you were drinking every time you said it in a drinking game, you would have been wasted, because he said it, by my count, 3 or 4 times.
Well, you'd have been getting a buzz, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. 4 shots. I'm hammered.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It was like he was on a fundamental loop.
He was. Right? He was nervous. He was nervous. He did kind of chilled out a little bit later. And then he was so nervous. And I think he even realized he was using fundamental too many times. He started attacking Trump, and he was like, nearly 80-year-old Donald Trump.
Yeah. So. Isn't it funny that it's now okay to attack your opponent's age?
Yes.
Whereas when Joe Biden was in the race, we just completely dismissed, you know, not only the age, but many other things. But JD, he brought up, they brought up how Vance.
Walz did.
Or Walz did. Walz brought it up that Vance once said Trump was unfit for office.
And we'll dig deeper on that later, but let's talk about how Vance.
Yeah, well, Vance replied. He was actually very polite. I thought it was interesting. He introduced himself before answering the question.
Because there were no opening statements.
Right, no opening statements. Yeah. So he introduced himself. But what I always like that he does in a debate on all the questions that he was asked mostly, he said what he wanted to say, and then he said, and your question was... And he went back to the question. I think that's a good way of doing it. Yes.
Yeah.
So it made the introduction. He, you know, said Trump delivered stability in the world. He talked about Iran, you know, this being a question about Iran and what was going on right now. Received $100 billion from the Kamala Harris administration because they took off all the sanctions. And he said Trump, you know, pursues peace through strength.
Yes. And so the moderator said, do you want to respond to those allegations? The $100 billion to Iran is not an allegation, just FYI. But so Walz really somehow blamed Iran on Trump's fickle leadership. And so he started saying the word fickle almost as often as he was saying fundamental. So he was kind of panicking.
Yeah. I mean, if you had fickle fundamental right now, you'd be getting really sloshed. And we're only on the first question, right?
Oh, I know.
Oh, yeah, you'd have been on like 8 shots already.
Yes. All right. Vance had a good response here.
Yeah. I mean, he said Trump exited the Iran deal. And diplomacy, this is not a dirty word, but Trump made the world more secure. You can't ignore October 7th. They attacked Israel during the Harris administration.
That's right.
Yeah. So, you know, he made that point several times during the night, which I think is a very correct point to make.
Yes. So on in this section on the Middle East, we both feel like it was a win for Vance.
Yeah, it was. And FYI, we're not going to go over every single question.
No, so, we're not.
Yes.
No, we promise. He was really composed. He spoke well and clearly. And Walz at this point was still nervous. Again, he does get better, but he was nervous. So then they totally switched gears and went to Hurricane Helene. And they talked about how it was the deadliest on record. More than 160 people dead at the time of the debate. We now know that number has gone up, unfortunately. And they led in this question with, scientists say hurricanes are larger and stronger due to historic rainfall. Now, Edward, you're from Florida, and you've lived with hurricanes your whole life.
Climate change is one of my bugaboos, and that is complete and utter crap. They are not larger, they're not stronger, or more frequent. It's not debatable. All the science shows that there is no huge increase in these hurricanes. And again, it's weather. It's not climate.
But they continue to drill down on climate change.
I love JD's response, because he said, if you believe that carbon emissions are causing all of this stuff, right, we should be producing more energy here in the United States because we do it better, cleaner than anybody in the world, especially China, where there are no restrictions on it. Yes.
And then Walt said something like, we got close to an agreement. He was talking about, then he blanked out. And what he was talking about was the agreement that
the Paris Climate Accords, I think he was talking about, wasn't he?
No, I think he was talking about the bill that recently went through Congress. Anyway, I'll stop. So then he said, Trump says climate change is a hoax.
Yay.
I'm trying to tell our audience what Walt said.
Okay.
Then he said, well, the Biden-Harris administration invested in the IRA.
What's the IRA?
The Inflation Reduction Act.
We're talking about climate change.
Yes. Huh. So it wasn't about inflation, people.
Really?
Okay. And then he just kept going down the rabbit hole that the Harris administration created 200,000 jobs across the country. Again, the topic here was about the climate. And then he said, my farmers know climate change is real. They're adapting. They're producing more natural and gas and oil. And my thought was, really? Okay. And then he was like, the solution is for reducing our impact because climate change is real. Yes.
Yeah. J.D. Vance, responded, nuclear power is the way to go. It's been over 40 years since we built a nuclear plant here in the United States. That has to change.
And then Nora O'Donnell got in this little zinger. The overwhelming consensus among scientists is that the Earth's climate is warming up at an alarming rate.
Yes. And I believe I was screaming at the time that science is not consensus.
Right.
Agreement on something doesn't make it true. Experiments make it true.
Yeah. And their mics were not muted at this point. They started, they started responding to her, and her comment was totally inappropriate. So what is our analysis of this section?
Walsh actually had kind of a blank out moment where he started stumbling because he couldn't get the, Rolodex file in his head.
Yeah.
So I got to give it to Vance.
I do too. Yeah.
And what kind of really pisses me off, climate change as an issue is always like at the very bottom on polls of like 1 to 20 on issues, and they put it right up top.
Well, they did because of the hurricane.
They didn't have to, though.
No.
But they didn't have to bring in climate. There's a hurricane. People are dying. We need help, right?
Okay, yes.
End of rant for now.
Next topic, which this is a good one. They went deep. Immigration, border security. So they said this is the top issue for American borders. Your campaign, American voters.
Voters, you said borders.
Oh, geez. Yes. Okay. All right. So your campaign is talking about the largest deportation in American history. This was going to Vance. Would you deport parents and separate the children? Now, why don't you talk about your response before you give us Vance's response?
I was like, what a loaded question, right? They start with the parents and children. Are you going to say, how about the question should be, we've been invaded by millions of illegal aliens. How do we remove them? There's a question.
Okay, but Vance had a great response.
Yeah, he said, well, we have to stop the bleeding. Harris said she wanted to do all the Trump's policies.
Undo.
And Biden and Harris, they issued 94 executive orders ending deportations, increasing asylum fraud. He talked about the fentanyl and building the wall. And he said, if we're going to deport, we are going to deport people. Yes, we're going to start with the criminals. Immigrants
which totally makes sense.
Yeah, deport them first. Yeah, I don't know anybody who won't be behind that. But there, it also, by removing all of these people, it's going to make it harder to undercut the wages of American workers, he was saying. So, and he also went into we have 320,000 children that the Department of Homeland Security has lost.
That's huge. That's huge. I really thought his answer was tight and great. Walt said something about drug mules are not true.
No such thing, right, Tim?
Yeah.
Maybe in Minnesota. I don't know.
And then I think he said the last 12 months, it's been the largest decrease in fentanyl deaths in history. And there was a 30% decrease in Ohio. And And he had that stat ready because, of course, J.D. Vance is from Ohio and is a senator of Ohio, one of two senators.
Yeah, if I can jump in, I call that a bullshit stat, because what he's saying is there's been a huge decrease in fentanyl deaths because they've just recently cracked down on the border. So if fentanyl deaths have skyrocketed and they come down some, well, you're the one that made them skyrocket.
Right.
Don't take credit for the decrease.
Right. So he said... He said, again, this is Walz, Harris was the attorney general of the largest state, a border state, and prosecuted transnational gangs. I mean, and that is like, you hear that a lot. Now, what we found really interesting is there are many investigative journalists who are searching for how many times Kamala was the lead attorney in her entire career. And so far, these journalists on both sides of the aisle can't find a single time she was the lead attorney.
Yeah. Huh.
Weird.
Shocker. Yes.
So Walz then blames Trump for not passing the border bill. That's what he was trying to get to earlier. And, you know, it needs to be done by the legislature. Anyway, so I think it's important to know at this moment, I probably had a full glass of wine. I started having a full meltdown. I lost my mind.
What was your quote, by the way?
My quote was to Walz, and what he was saying was, he was being so disinfucking genuous. Go ahead.
Genuine.
Yeah, go ahead and slap that X apple on us. I was really pissed because Vance nailed it. Walz can't really own it. And I don't think Walz is responsible for what the Biden-Harris administration did, but he is part of it now. And then on top of that, the moderator refused to let Vance respond to direct attacks.
Yeah. It's shameful. I mean, he said that Harris, you know, bragged that she would undo Trump's immigration policies, which have led to these massive problems in the U.S. He just restated it. Good for him.
Yeah. And so they asked Walz about the mass deportations, and he said, we'll fix this issue with a bill that is necessary. We can come together if Trump didn't make this an issue. And then he brought up Springfield. I mean, it was getting really into the weeds here.
It was. Yes.
Yeah. Then the moderator said the governor has made a point that Congress controls the purse strings. And she said this to Vance because, of course, Walz is a governor.
Yeah.
And Vance said,
Vance jumped in. He said the majority, what we need to do at the border is to empower law enforcement to do their job. He said, I'm worried about the American citizens who have had their lives destroyed by Kamala Harris's policies.
And Walz said that law enforcement asked for the bill, which gives asylum claims done in 90 days. Okay. Then he started quoting the Bible, sort of out of nowhere. And my immediate response was, is he religious? Because I didn't know that about him. It was, I don't think this was a good topic for him.
Well, I found it odd because he mentioned, he said, asylum claims take years now. We're going to get them done in 90 days, which is bullcrap. But of course they want to get them done in 90 days because they want to red or green light everybody coming in.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the moderator said, Springfield, Ohio has a large number of Haitian migrants who have legal status and they are temporarily protected. And Vance came back hard.
Yeah. Well, they kept trying to go on to the next question. And Vance is like, whoa, you're fact checking me. And he talked about the details of the asylum and parole programs. And he was absolutely 100% correct. And the moderators wanted nothing to do
and
with
they
it.
They cut off their mics.
They finally cut off the mic.
Both mics,
yeah,
to be fair.
Yeah. Yeah. And Vance was absolutely correct that this was just a magic wand that Kamala waved to give these people legal temporary status.
So who do we feel won this part?
Oh, Vance with the win easily on it. I think him schooling the moderators was awesome.
I don't know that everybody will think that was a good look, but I don't think anyone thinks that Kamala's tough on the border.
Correct.
Yeah. So, yeah. All right, then they moved on to the economy, and the top two issues for American voters are immigration / the border and the economy. So the moderator begins, and she goes to Walz, talk about Harris's economic plan. Okay. What does she call it again? The opportunity economy. How do you pay for it without ballooning the deficit? That is the key part there, guys.
Where did he go with this?
He said, we believe in the middle class because that's where we come from.
So that's the cure to everything is we are middle class.
Well, and then he said 3 million houses are proposed in this plan with down payment assistance. And we're going to make sure there's fairness in everyday purchases. And there are child tax credits. And that's the philosophical difference between us. He gave, meaning Trump, gave tax cuts to the top class. The wealthiest need to pay their fair share. Not one time did he answer the part about how you do all of these things, which sounds so wonderful, without ballooning the deficit.
Well, that and you know, the wealthiest need to pay their fair share. Please, Tim, tell me, what is their fair share, since what, one top 1% pay well over 50% of the taxes in the country anyway? Do they need to pay 100%?
Okay, give us Vance's response.
Well, Vance said, you know, she had the opportunity to do these things.
She did.
Yeah. I mean, she drove up the cost, and he said XYZ. If she had such great plans, she ought to do them now. I mean, what a great concept, right? He said Trump's economic plan is not only a plan, but also a record.
That's a good
what
line.
A great line.
That's
yeah,
a good line.
Donald Trump delivered the highest take-home pay in a generation and peace and security all over the world. Just look at the record. And a lot of resources went to middle class and working Americans. Yeah, Trump's tax cuts actually, percentage-wise, the top people actually got the lowest percent increase, by the way, or refund, if you will. But it was just common sense wisdom. And
then Waltz brought in, because that was a pretty solid answer. Waltz said, COVID led to the collapse of our economy. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think Trump invented COVID. And then he blamed Trump for not paying any federal taxes for 15 years.
This is reminiscent of Harry Reid saying on the Senate floor that Mitt Romney did not pay taxes for 10 years and lied about it. And
this is where they were not fact checking Waltz
It shows desperation when you're saying it is. You cannot make a claim like that.
Yeah. And what did Vance say?
He said, you trust the experts. These same experts, you know, were wrong on everything else. And he said Trump had the wisdom and the courage to say, we're bringing Americans back. Listen to common sense wisdom.
And Waltz says, if you want billionaires to get tax cuts, you know, and then he goes on a tangent. He does like a left turn and talks about unions.
Yeah, I like that Vance pushed back and he said, you know, with these people, you have to play whack-a-mole because they're just throwing so much.
All right. So who won the economy section?
I got to say Vance did, you know, and talking about Donald Trump has a record. Look at it. Walz admitted that COVID destroyed the economy.
Yes.
So it's not like Donald Trump destroyed the economy.
That's true.
COVID did. Yes.
Yeah. Then the moderators took it in a very interesting direction about personal qualifications. And you know, it is interesting to keep in mind that Waltz is a governor, and I think there are probably more governors that have become presidents than senators, but I'm not 100% sure. But, you know, it's a very similar job, just much bigger stage. And then, of course, J.D. Vance is a senator. So they asked about your leadership qualities. And this is where they went to Waltz first about Minnesota Public Radio, about his time in China.
Yeah, they asked him, you said you've been there 30 times, you've only been there 15.
Yeah.
And
you got mad at the question.
And you know, you said you were at Tiananmen Square, you weren't blah, blah, blah.
Tell the audience
and I said, what a crappy question. Yeah. Why are they asking him about fudging the numbers on the number of visits to China, right? The real question is, why did you lie about your National Guard retiring rank?
And just to be clear, that question was never asked.
Never asked. Talk about being a serious question. Veterans would be livid if they all knew that Tim Walz lied about his rank that he retired at. You do not forget what rank you retired at.
And you can find him on video saying it.
That's the damning question. So they ask this lighter weight question and say, look, we asked him about lying.
Well, he talked about his background. He was kind of stalling. Yeah. It was almost like he was running out the clock like they do in football.
He's trying to, yeah.
He's like, I took young people to China.
And I said, he said, we take all kinds of teams and dancers. And I'm thinking, boy, sounds like a pedo to me.
Well, okay, that is Edward's opinion. But he did say, Waltz did say, I'm a knucklehead. And that's got to be a meme somewhere. I'm a knucklehead.
Yeah.
And I'm a bipartisan person. I'm committed to people and through teaching and being a soldier. And I really thought, when he said being a soldier, they would bring up the National Guard thing, but they didn't.
Nope.
But they did push back. The moderator did push back and said, can you explain the discrepancy between you saying you were there during Tiananmen Square and their record showing indeed you were not? And he says, I misspoke.
Yeah. Horrible answer.
Then they go over to Vance. And again, this is all about their leadership qualities. And they said to Vance, you said Trump could be Hitler in 2016. Trump failed to deliver his economic populism. Why should Americans trust that you would give Trump the advice he needs to hear and not what he wants to hear?
Yeah, I like JD's response. He said, look, I've always been open. I believe some of the media stories about Trump.
In 2016,
he said, Trump delivered for the American people. It's important to explain where I come down and what changed. Like a lot of things, we could have done better. Congress is not a high-class debating society. They were so obsessed with impeaching Trump that they could not govern. He said Biden continued some of the Trump tariffs that actually helped the American people. So I think it was good. He basically said, yeah, I was wrong.
And
it's okay to admit that.
All right. So who won?
Oh, this is a Vance win so easily because Walz was so bad on this when he kept trying to explain. And he just kept digging hole deeper and deeper about his trips to China.
Well, also every time they show the side-by-side shot, most of the time Vance was looking straight out to the audience and to the camera. And more than half the time, Walz was looking over at Vance and kind of nodding his head. And it was like a bobblehead. It was weird. All right. Then they went to reproductive rights. And they went to Walz first and said, you signed Minnesota into a law has one of the least restrictive abortion bills Walz signed into law. And then Walz's initial response, he brought up a personal story about a woman in Texas. And I wrote down, he doesn't live in Texas. Okay.
Yeah, he brought up everything about Minnesota, you know, for every answer, but now he's a national figure.
And he kept bringing up all these personal stories that weren't answering the question. The only way he answered it was he said, we restored Roe versus Wade and put women back in control of their health care. And then he brought up Project 2025, which will limit abortions and infertility treatments.
And I believe that he said that they will also have a registry, of your abortions.
Oh, did he say too? Yeah. Oh, okay.
It's like, oh, good Lord.
Okay, stop hitting the chair with your foot, dear.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay.
Vance, actually came back. He said, I knew a lot of young women who terminated their pregnancies. We have to do a better job of earning the American trust back. He wants to be pro-family. He wants to support fertility treatments, which he does. He supports young moms, give women more options. You know, abortion is not the only answer. On the abortion policy specifically, he said each state has its own viewpoint. Let the voters make the decisions.
And Walz came right back with another young woman's story. He said, how can we as a nation say the right to control your body is controlled by your geography? Which I thought was a pretty good line. And I can't believe that wasn't a prepared one, because that was a pretty good line. Mm-hmm. So the moderator pushed back and said to Vance, you have supported restrictions after 15 weeks.
He replied, I've never supported a national ban or setting a minimum national standard. He said, the people of Ohio voted against his positions.
Yep.
And that's what he's talking about, is letting the people vote. He didn't like necessarily where they voted, but that's our system. He said, we have to do a better job of winning people's trust back.
But he was repeating himself.
He was.
So Walz was like, we're pro women. We're pro freedom. We're not pro abortion. Minnesota has one of the lowest teen pregnancy rates in the nation.
Yeah. So. And Vance, he got sympathetic. He said, I wish Amber Thurman was still alive. One of the examples they use. And he says, as I read the Minnesota law, a doctor is under no obligation to provide life-saving care to a botched late-stage abortion.
And Walz's response was, it's a woman's decision to make.
Yeah, they started arguing because Vance actually brought up the law.
Yeah.
And Walz pushed
back.
Exactly
the way it's written. Yeah.
Yeah, and Vance kept saying, tell me where I'm wrong, Tim. Tell me where I'm wrong. Please explain it to us.
Yeah, and the mics were not muted. But I put a little note here. I love that Walz was mansplaining abortion to women, to two female moderators, no less. Like, I just was like, really? All right. So how do we think about reproductive rights? Who won this one?
I'm going to say it was kind of a tie.
Yeah, I do
think.
Too.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Vance, I think, was a little unsteady on his answer. Kept repeating himself. But I think calling out Walz trying to say that they don't do late term abortions in Minnesota, and they do.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. It's allowed anyway. It's legal. So Then thank God there was a break because we were more than an hour in.
I think that's where you got more wine.
I probably did. All right. You're making me sound like a drunk. I'm not. So
you got a little tipsy.
I got tipsy, okay.
Which is good.
So I need to get through this debate. God, I don't know how you did. You didn't have a beer. All right. So they came back with, the topic was gun violence. And they went to Senator Vance first. They said, you oppose most gun legislation that would curb gun violence. The parents of a school shooter were convicted in Michigan. Do you think holding parents responsible would curb school shootings? I thought that was a very, very nuanced, very interesting question. And then your response was,
well, you know, they said gun violence. They're going to talk about gun violence. And I thought, shouldn't this be violent people using guns? The gun doesn't commit the violence. Somebody has to actually pull a trigger. It's shocking. But yeah, so Vance said, you know, I trust the local authorities to make these decisions. These moderators are trying to get him to say that every parent should be responsible for their child. He can't do that. He said it with a smile. He was talking about his kids and, you know, how he hates that they have to grow up in this world. We need to do better. He said the majority, 90%, is committed to illegally obtained firearms.
So the majority of shootings are from illegally obtained firearms. Yes.
Yeah. But he brought it back to the border and the drug cartels and the gun running that goes on there. And it does. He talked about protecting children in schools, increasing security in schools, resource officers also.
I just want to add that when I was still teaching in the early to mid 2000s, we had a metal detector at the middle school. People weren't crazy about it, but it did a good job.
Yeah, I never had to go through that. We didn't have fences around our schools, anything.
We didn't have there was no fence at the middle school, but there was a metal detector to get in. Yeah.
And in fact, our ROTC people actually brought their guns to school.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Well, you are older than me.
I am indeed.
All right. So Wallace came back with, my 17-year-old witnessed a shooting at the local community center. And what was your initial response?
I call bullshit.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, we'll come back to that in just a moment. And Walt said, I'm a hunter. I own firearms.
Much like the vice president.
Yes.
Yes.
I believe Walt owns firearms.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Harris, I don't know. So he said in Minnesota, you know, we enacted red flag laws, background checks. He said, I 100% agree with Senator Vance that it doesn't happen in Finnish schools. I guess Vance had brought that up. And I just wrote, we're not Finland, guys. We're just not. So, and then Wall said, you know, Kamala Harris, as Attorney General, she's worked on this issue. And this was the perfect response that Vance gave. It was so sympathetic. Would you quote?
Yeah, he looked at him. He said, Tim, I'm sorry. I didn't know that your 17-year-old witnessed the shooting. And he was nice. He was
genuine.
It really was. He said, you know, we have a mental health crisis in this country. And a big piece of the gun violence problems is to empower law enforcement to arrest the bad guys.
Yeah.
We need more security at the schools.
And Wald said he was an NRA guy for a long time until Sandy Hook changed his mind about banning assault weapons. And he talked about rural suicides happening in Minnesota, which is not really part of the gun violence thing. And about mental health being stigmatized. And sometimes it just is the guns. Was this the moment when he said that he supported school shooters?
And
I support school shooter victims.
I'm friends with school shooters.
I'm friends with school shooters. Yes. He meant I'm friends with the families of the victims. Yeah, that's what he meant.
Kind of had a short circuit on that one.
Yeah, he did. And all right, our analysis, I'm going to say slight edge to Vance.
Yeah.
Because of his response to Walz.
Agree with that.
And I don't know that we'll have time to get into it because this is going to go long. We're going to try to trim it, but just look up what Walz was saying. Fact check.
Yeah, but the quick fact check is his son was in a community center and there was a shooting outside.
Okay.
And that's the shooting that his son supposedly air quote witnessed.
Okay. All right. I was going to let our viewers do that.
Well, I thought I'd save him a lot of work.
Okay. The next topic was the high cost of housing and rent, and the top contributor is inflation. This is the moderators now. There is a shortage of more than 4 million homes in the U.S., and Harris promises to do X, Y, and Z. Where are you building, and won't handing out homes drive up prices higher? Which was a great question.
Oh, yeah. It's like, what? Duh.
And Walt says, well, folks see housing as commodity. I've only bought one house in my life. What does that have to do with anything?
Nothing.
He says, we're going to cut the red tape. And local folks make it easier. And he started to undermine his whole argument about the federal part.
Yeah, local people.
Yes, right, yeah. And you can't blame immigrants as the only reason. Like, and she didn't bring up immigrants, the moderator, at all.
No.
Then she talked about, the moderator came back and said, seizing federal lands to build homes.
Yeah, and Vance came back and he said, we don't want to blame immigrants. We want to blame Kamala Harris's policies that drive up home prices. And he even said, you know, actually some of Tim Walz's ideas are halfway decent. But he said, if Kamala Harris wants to make housing more affordable, she should do it right now.
Yep.
Yeah. He said, we need to lower the energy prices. And he went on with an example of lumber. And, you know, if the price of gas has gone up, so getting lumber to a site is going to drive up the price of the lumber. He wanted to talk about energy and get that will help you get immediate price relief. He said, we have lots of federal land that is not being used for anything that could be places to build housing. I disagree with that because I don't think the federal government should be into building houses. But he went back to, you know, deporting, kicking out illegal immigrants who's competing for these homes. When you import 20 million people into your country, they need to live somewhere.
Okay. Then they went back and forth. For the sake of time, I'm just going to jump to the analysis for this, but because it just kind of went off the rails with federal peat lands and preserves and this and that. So who do you think won what they would call the high cost of housing and rent section?
It was an easy one for Vance because, you know, all you have to do is bring up how many immigrants have come into this country driving up the price.
Right. And Walt just kept talking about Minnesota when the question was really about what's the federal government going to do. So they also talked about the high cost of healthcare and the child care crisis.
Snooze fest. Yeah. By the way, should the federal government be involved in our child care? No.
Okay. The Head Start program is federal. It is.
Okay.
All right.
I don't think we should be.
Okay. All right. So we're going to move on to topics that we thought were more interesting in the debate. Just in general across the board. So the state of democracy, that's how the moderators called it. They said this is the top issue for Americans after the economy and inflation. So, of course, they went to Vance first. They said, you know, X people, number of people certified the 2020 election results. You said you wouldn't have certified the results. And they go to Vance.
Yeah, he said there were problems in the 2020 election. He said, President Trump said to demonstrate peacefully. And he says, I do believe we have a threat to democracy and it's Kamala Harris. And he wanted to focus on the future. He talked about how he was raised by two lifelong, you know, blue collar Democrats, that Trump's endorsed by RFK Jr., Tulsi Gabbard, Elon Musk. And then he went into the real threat for our democracy is censorship.
I agree. Yeah. Walt said we need to tell the story. And so he really wanted to focus on January 6th.
And he got very somber.
Yes, he did. He got very serious. 140 police officers were beaten that day. No one fact checked him in real time. however, he did have one good line that he threw away. And if you're listening, Walt, here's to you. Here's a tip. He said, democracy is bigger than winning an election. That was actually a good line. But he threw it away.
Yeah, just kind of ran right over it.
Yes. And he was like, and a president's words matter. And my response to that was like, yeah, they do. Yeah. Joe Biden said that Kamala Harris was the border czar, and she never went to the border until recently.
Yeah.
So, yeah, words do matter.
Yeah. I like when Vance came back. He said, it's rich when Trump peacefully gave over power, which he did.
He wasn't happy about it.
No.
Okay.
He brought up Hillary Clinton, and he said, Hillary's been out campaigning since 2016 saying the election was stolen by the Russians.
Yes. And Walz was like, January 6th was not Facebook ads. There's no place for this. And Trump is saying he's still saying he didn't lose the election. And I do think Vance navigated that part of it perfectly because it's not something you want to ask Trump about. So can I give him the analysis here?
You may.
Yes. This is what I wrote for real, guys. This is what I wrote for our audience. All caps. I am tired. This issue is tired. they are both disagreeing politely, and I wanted to go to bed. I was exhausted.
Are we done?
Are we done yet? Then they took a break, and they came back with closing statements. They started with Walz, and he said, I'm surprised by the Kamala Harris coalition, and he meant all the Republicans that are supporting her, like the Cheneys, for example. He said, there's a sense of optimism, opportunity economy, freedom to make choices. We know who Donald Trump is. And then he threw in the words, American carnage. Harris is bringing us, this is a quote, you guys, Harris is bringing us the politics of joy. That means nothing. Right. It means nothing.
Correct.
All right. Give us Vance.
Yeah. Vance, he kind of personalized it, talked about his grandmother being raised by her, not having enough money for the heat, you know, energy prices. He went after Harris on her policies. You know, again, she's been vice president for 3.5 years and she's going to fix everything on day one. And day one was 1400 days ago. And her policies have made everything worse.
Yeah, I think Vance did a very nice job overall of saying Harris and her policies in a way that Trump did not. You know, Trump never said the Biden-Harris administration, that, you know, he was still focused on Biden. And so I thought that that was a zinger of a line. Day one was 1400 days ago.
Yeah,
I really do.
Yeah.
So what do we think in the closing statements?
Well, I think in the overall scheme that this was an easy win for Vance. The whole debate, I think Walz was out of his depth. He showed that he was not ready for prime time.
I wonder how much he prepped. I wonder how much they prepped him. They should have prepped him.
But you can just see people who, when the stage is too big for them, and it is for him, for Tim Walz. And everybody looking at that is thinking, that's a possible future president. I don't think so.
Is there a stage too big for me?
Oh, not a chance.
All right. So what are our final thoughts?
You know, just we're 29 days out now from the election.
I can't believe
inside
that.
Of a month. And I had an interesting question I was thinking of this week is, where are Barack and Michelle? Where are the Obamas? They have not been seen since the convention. Right?
I know.
And I did find out, though, that later this week, Barack at least is getting out on the trail again.
Yeah.
But he's kind of waiting for the last minute, and a lot of votes have already been cast.
Yes.
Right? And all this mail-in stuff, that may come back.
Well, they didn't want her. They did not.
They didn't. But, you know, yeah, I think the tell is Kamala will be much easier to control as a president versus a Whitmer or a Gavin Newsom. And the reason they thought that Kamala is going to lose, and if you can't get a win, you know, don't have anything to control. No, it's just that have they not been out there promoting her because they think she's going to lose, and they don't want to have that stink on them.
I think so. Yeah, I think that's highly possible. They didn't want her. That's for sure.
All right, let's get to it.
All right, let's get to our segments. We have all three for you, and I'm going to start with This Week in Wins. This is from Roxanne Tiger Reed at the Free Press, and all the links, of course, to everything that we talk about are in the show notes. The title of the article is, I spent 13 years living as a man, but after my spouse's expose, I'm detransitioning. This story will break your heart. So we talked earlier, and I can't remember what episode. I'll try to find a link back to it. I think it was season 2. So Tiger Reed's spouse is Jamie Reed, and she talked about the dangers of gender-affirming care for minors. She was a nurse. She was working at a hospital. She was seeing things happen, and she sort of became a whistleblower.
Yeah. Yep.
And this is her spouse. So Tiger Reed, a 44-year-old librarian in St. Louis, Missouri, and since 2016 has been married to Jamie. And let's see, he is also dad to the 5 children they're raising together, 2 from Jamie's previous marriage and 3 they've adopted. And after 13 years of living as a man, he's in the process of tapering down his weekly, tapering down the weekly testosterone injections, because Tiger wants to become a woman again. And I thought this part really just struck me. He said, I know there isn't a lot of sympathy for those of us who transition as adults. He was 31. People assume you made your choice, you knew what you were signing up for. But in recent years, we've been finding out that reliable research for transition, especially concerning its long-term effects, is virtually non-existent. The comprehensive CAST review showed the lack of scientific underpinning for the commonly accepted medical treatments for gender dysphoria, hormones, and surgery, especially for kids. As gender-affirming care fails to explore the often complex personal and psychological histories that lead people to believe transition is what they need. And, you know, this person, Tiger, at 31, went on testosterone. 5 years later, had her breasts removed, and says that no one he consulted prepared him for the emotional consequences of the transition, for how the hormones would change not only his appearance, but how he felt about himself and the world. It's a long article. It's well worth your time. That was just a summary. And I called it This Week in Wins because this was really brave. It was really brave for Jamie to come forward. And I believe she got fired. And it's really brave for her spouse to come forward and say, wow, I really didn't understand the ramifications, even though I made this decision as an adult.
Yeah, the thing that jumps out to me, and I read the article too, is this gender-affirming care. This person in this story had severe physical, mental issues in terms of abuse from family members.
But physical, had endometriosis.
But went through the foster care system. Yeah. And just about every person that you see that's gone through gender affirming care has had serious mental issues. This is the only mental issue in whatever the psychiatric manual is that you affirm what that person thinks. Affirming somebody's mental illness is not treatment. And I think this will go down as one of the blackest marks in medical history.
Yeah. Yeah. And
they're doing to children. I mean, it's bad enough with adults, but it's malpractice by these doctors not letting these people, even adults, know the possible side effects.
Yeah. I'll say one thing else about Tiger that I really struck me was she always knew, I'm going to go back to she, because she is a she. She always knew she was gay as a small child, knew she was a lesbian, knew she liked women. And one of the biggest losses for her when she decided to transition was how she lost her lesbian community. And she didn't expect that to happen. The differences between when she goes out in public, everyone thinks she's a gay man. And then when they're together as a couple, everyone thinks they're a heterosexual couple. Well, they're actually a lesbian couple.
Right.
So,
yeah, it's okay to be a lesbian or gay, homosexual,
absolutely.
Whatever. It's okay.
Yeah.
You don't have to start cutting things off. You don't.
All right. Let's move along.
Let's, I would say lighten up, but
yes.
Not right. Necessarily.
This one's yours.
The Week in WTF.
What the fuck?
This is from our friend Ireland Owens.
I like that name.
I like it too.
Yeah.
Over at dailycaller.com. Headline: Maryland police to fork over more than $2 million. Dollars in back pay to female Black applicants who couldn't pass tests.
What?
Yeah. So the Maryland Department of State Police has committed to shell out more than $2 million in back pay to applicants who could not pass the state trooper test as part of a settlement agreement with the U.S. Department of Justice. There you go. And there's the Biden administration and Harris. They said that the state police requires that state trooper candidates successfully complete both written and physical tests.
Makes sense.
Which the DOJ alleged discriminate against the Black and female candidates who could not pass them. The test required female applicants to do push-ups, sit-ups, a seated reach, a trigger pull, and a 1.5 mile run. Of the candidates, 81% of the men could pass the physical test, while only 51% of female applicants were able to pass.
So even some men couldn't pass.
Yeah. So the complaint also claims that the written test wrongly excluded Black applicants, since the rate at which they passed was found to be significantly lower than the rate of which white applicants passed. So I'm confused. Isn't the entire purpose of testing to discriminate between those who have the knowledge, the skill, or the strength,
the physical ability,
to pass the test, and those who don't?
Yeah.
It's meant to be discriminatory. That's what a test is for. We're weeding out people that can't pass.
Yes. And for a state trooper, you want somebody who understands the law. That's the mental test, the intellectual stuff. But you also want someone who's strong. You want someone, yes, who can do all the strength. I mean, both male or and female.
Yeah, this is absolutely ridiculous that the Justice Department goes and brings this case. You know,
Okay, I know. Stop your clapping. Okay. All right. Last but not least, this week in Woke from our friend Caitlin Richardson at the Daily Caller.
Another Daily Caller piece.
Yes. All right. Supreme Court. This one's short, guys. We're wrapping up, I promise. Supreme Court agrees to consider woman's claim she lost her job because she is not gay.
Not gay.
Not gay.
Okay.
So the Supreme Court agreed on Friday to consider a woman's claim that she was demoted because she is straight. Marlene Ames, who began working for the Ohio Department of Youth Services in 2004, sued the department for sex-based discrimination in 2020, alleging she did not receive a promotion and was later demoted because she is a heterosexual woman. The justices agreed to weigh in on whether a heightened standard should be required for members of a majority group to bring such claims. Okay, I'll give my thoughts in a moment. Judge Raymond Keithledge wrote, to state the obvious, the statute bars discrimination against any individual.
Any individual.
Yes.
Right? Any.
Okay. The judge also noted that nobody disputes that Ames has established the other elements of her prima facie case, which would be enough to establish that case if she were a gay person. Okay, we need tort reform. That's all I'm going to say. We need tort reform. European countries have it. We need it here, because then unnecessary lawsuits would not be brought.
Well, I just love this judge. He says the statute bars discrimination against any individual.
Yes.
Any.
Yeah.
Pretty clear. When are we going to stop with this?
Tort reform. Yeah. Just saying it.
Well, we need a bigger change than that.
I know. Okay.
That was fun.
Yes. So thank you so much. If you were watching us live today, we saw you. And please follow us on all social media platforms. We are live most Sundays, as you saw, Sundays at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 1 p.m. Eastern. We stream live on YouTube, Rumble, LinkedIn, X, and Facebook. If you're listening to the podcast, which always drops the next day, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast, available wherever you're listening right now. You can support our show by joining our locals community. That's available right there in the podcast show notes and also on the podcast page. And learn more, follow us, reach out, email, even leave us a voicemail at myfavoriteconservative.show. That's myfavoriteconservative.show. Oh, I have one final thought. Do you have anything? Final
Please, thoughts? No. Why don't you wrap us up?
All right. So I heard some commentators on both sides of the aisle saying, vice presidents don't matter, you know, and I think that was true for a really long time, but I think vice presidents do matter, because Vice President Harris was essentially handed the nomination. Okay. She did nothing to get it. She got no votes and she was handed the nomination. I don't think anyone thought that would happen 4 years ago when she was selected as the VP, which we know Biden did for reasons we've already covered on the show. So vice presidents do matter. And when I look at Walz and when I look at Vance, I like Vance. And we know the difference between Trump and Harris, among many other policy issues, is Harris could potentially get 8 years. Trump only gets 4 more. That's it. Also, he is an older candidate. So if something were to happen to him in office, he's already survived 2 assassination attempts, then it would fall on J.D. Vance. And I think J.D. Vance would make an excellent president.
I agree. I do have one final thought.
There, yes.
Speaking of vice presidents, do they matter? There's a great meme out on X right now, and it's got a picture of Barack Obama. And next to it, it says, I need a vice president dumber than me. And that goes down to the next box, which is Joe Biden. Joe Biden says next to him, I need a vice president who's dumber than me, which goes to Kamala Harris.
Oh,
and
no.
Next to that, it says, I need a vice president who's dumber than me. And it's Tim Walz. So where does this end?
Yes.
You're right.
Yeah. We didn't put out that meme.
It's actually very funny.
If we can find it, we'll put it in the show notes. Thank you so much if you joined us live today.
Bye. Bye.